Dr. Scott Bradley on with us, freedomsrisingsun.com. And I mentioned him because we talked about America, talked about a history in review. We talked about George Washington's unheeded warning that religion and morality are indispensable supports, folks. We talked about what the founders meant by self-governance, and we talked about self-governing individuals are necessary for a self-governing society. We talked about Exodus 15, I guess it's Exodus 20, 15, thou shalt not steal. And we talked about why the checks and balances are so important. They've literally stolen the elections from us, ladies and gentlemen. And we talked about how the checks and balances can maintain a constitutional republic. It was a great, great hour. The reason I bring that up now is because when we talk about Sheriff Richard Mack's Supreme Court win, really it's all about the checks and balances. It's all about the 10th Amendment. It's all about the Supreme Court acknowledging that the states have dual sovereignty. It's not all about the general or the federal government. Now, they had general and federal government wonks, operatives, whatever you want to call it, criminals, monitoring elections all over the country. That is of great concern. But, folks, I'm telling you right now, these delays are just a polite way to make sure that it's not transparent, that election fraud can be committed wholesale without your scrutiny. Alex Newman is with me, well-known writer, speaker, JBS.org, thenewamerican.com. And I say this, can you say election fraud? Katie Hobbs just defeated Carrie Lake in the Arizona governor race. I guess it was 50.4% to 49.5%. They want you to believe it's a whole percentage point. The bottom line is I believe fraud has been committed. Alex is in Egypt now. We'll get to that in a second. But welcome, sir. And what do you say about the Carrie Lake losing the race? A week later, Alex.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Sam. Thank you for having me. And, I mean, to me, it's so obvious what's happening here. The same thing that happened in 2020, in fact, massive, massive election fraud to rig, especially the key elections, right? Carrie Lake was one that they absolutely could not allow to win under any circumstances. And so they did exactly what they did in 2020. They kept manufacturing ballots until they found enough to put their stooge over the line. And that's exactly what we just saw in Arizona. And it's what we saw in several other states as well. Pennsylvania was an absolute nightmare. They did the same thing there again. And actually, just about 2 weeks ago, they did the same thing in Brazil to take out Jair Bolsonaro, who was an anti-communist, a Christian, who was rolling back the major gains that the communists had made in Brazil and across Latin America. They could not allow that. And so we're witnessing this all over the world. Elections are becoming increasingly meaningless because they're using crooked machines, and they're using every trick in the book to stuff the ballot boxes, mail in ballots, all the rest of it. COVID laid the foundation for a lot of these tricks that they're using in the modern era. But this is absolutely horrific, Sam. And if we don't get a handle on it, we are going to end up very rapidly in the same boat that Venezuela found itself in after Hugo Chavez stole the election. They only had to steal one in Venezuela, and it was all over. So in America, we have a stronger foundation. It's a little bit harder. We've got many states. We've got, as you mentioned, dual sovereignty. It's not a matter of just stealing one election and America is dead. But we must get this issue under control if our republic is going to survive.
Well, and you know what? We really hoped in Arizona, one of the battleground states where a lot of illegals vote, et cetera, we really thought if you got Mark Fincham elected as Secretary of State, if you got the governor to be Carrie Lake, we really kind of thought, hey, we could bust this thing wide open. And they made sure by hook or by crook that would not happen. That's really what this is about, Alex.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what it's about. And making sure also that Trump looks like a fool, that it looks like Trump candidates cannot win. I saw Liz Cheney, the former Rhino representative of Wyoming. I guess she's there for another couple months. But I saw her trolling Carrie Lake. This is about the narrative. And the narrative is Trump is toxic. Anybody who resists the globalist agenda is toxic. And everybody's on board. The American people are on board. The red wave fizzled. So they've created a narrative here. And a win by somebody like Carrie Lake, who's not an establishment person, who has been calling out the election fraud, would absolutely demolish this fraudulent narrative that they are foisting on us.
Now, I know some of them are trying to go to the courts. That probably won't help. The court has been trained, even Trump appointees, to simply shut this down, not on the merits of the cases, Alex, but basically on you don't have standing, we're throwing it out for this reason or that reason. They'll never touch the real issues because they'll be forced to bring information out in court. They don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. So what they do is they basically manipulate all this, shut it down on the court level, not on the merits, but on something else every time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of really interesting things happening on the elections front. In fact, there was a Supreme Court case that the courts seem to be ignoring that ruled that federal elections have to happen on federal election day, and that at midnight on federal election day is over, right? And yet we have all these Democrat states that are continuing to find ballots long after that, and the courts are ignoring the Supreme Court precedent. I was looking for the name of the decision. I couldn't find it within, you know, a few seconds, but Debbie Kidd wrote a really good article about it in 2020 when they stole the election from Trump using the same tactic. Flagrant violation of Supreme Court precedent on this issue of having elections way after federal election day is over. So they're using every trick in the book. They're using every dishonest tactic, every slimy scheme that they can think of to be able to successfully steal these elections. And, you know, we've got to get a handle on this. We cannot allow it to continue.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Switching gears quickly, Alex Newman, my brothers and sisters, is everywhere. Okay? I just literally sat with him in Salt Lake City a couple of days ago. He literally then put together a video while he was on his way to Egypt. And the video is called Proof Cult Climate Leaders Don't Even Believe Their Own Narrative. And he shows proof that they don't believe their own narrative in this video while he's on his way to Egypt. Why are you there, sir?
Well, right here in Egypt, while everybody in America is distracted with the election fraud and the phony midterms, the global leaders, as they like to call themselves, are busy ushering in a new Ten Commandments, a new global religion, and a massive extortion racket whereby they plan to deindustrialize what's left of the Western world, loot what's left of the middle class across the rest of the Western world, put us into hundreds of trillions of dollars of debt, ultimately, and build up communist China. And so that's all happening right here in Egypt. There's a lot of coverage of this around the world, Sam. That's what's interesting. There are thousands of, I call them cheerleaders. They prefer to be called journalists, but I think it's obviously a fraudulent term. These people really are cheerleaders for this fraud, this massive scam that's taking place here. But all over the world, there's massive coverage of this. And in America, there's not a peep almost. You won't hear about this on Fox News. You're not going to hear about it on CNN. But there are 30-something thousand people gathered here for the annual UN Climate Summit. And they've got major, major plans for what they're planning to do to us. They're talking about this loss and damage. The volume's got to go down. They're talking about this loss and damage scheme, where basically we need to pay climate reparations to every third world kleptocrat for every hurricane, every fire, every everything that hits. They're blaming it on the CO2 emissions put out by Americans and Europeans over the last, 100 years or so since the Industrial Revolution. So very, very significant things happening here. And unfortunately, the U.S. media is totally missing in action. Even the alternative media is not covering this as they should. As far as I know, Sam, we are the only people here who are not on the one team that's represented here, which is the climate cult team. And in parallel with this, Sam, they had yesterday this major religious ceremony at Mount Sinai, right here on the Sinai Peninsula. They had people meeting in Jerusalem and in London to usher in. Originally, they were calling it the New Ten Commandments. They rebranded it a little bit when they got some pushback. Now they're calling it the Ten Principles of Climate Justice. But it's truly incredible what's happening here. They're arguing that we all need to repent of our climate sins, of our CO2 emissions, that we need to apologize to Mother Earth and the climate gods for having been such poor stewards of the planet. The old Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Well, you got to dispense with that, right? We got to steal from all those people who need to pay us climate reparations. Thou shalt not murder, right? The communist Chinese were very proud at a recent COP that I went to some years ago of how many unborn babies they had slaughtered and how many tons of CO2 that decreased in the atmosphere. So, I can't tell it all to you in the 12 minutes that we have left, but what's happening here is incredibly significant, Sam. Americans need to know it. In fact, Joe Biden actually stopped here just a few days ago. They had 125 presidents, prime ministers, kings, and dictators here in this exact location where I'm sitting. You'd think that'd be pretty big news in America, but total radio silence, because they know Americans are not willing to go with this, and they know that if Americans pull the plug, the whole thing falls apart.
Well, and the big thing now, Alex, and this is a shift in the last several years. It used to be that they were United States people, and they would secretly and once in a while go to world conferences to kind of dictate and get orders and get mandates and focus. And it was secret that they would attend. Now it's blatant worldwide that they attend, but now they go to these meetings, and the United States is virtually an afterthought in their minds and in their efforts to dictate rather than legislate. What I mean is there's been a direct shift. Our leaders get elected and swear an oath to the Constitution, and they flat out betray it on a global scale literally all the time, folks. This is serious. Alex is live right now in Egypt attending what they call, what is this thing, the COP27 meeting?
Yep, the 27th Annual Conference of the Parties is what the COP stands for. So it's an annual UN
meeting dedicated
to climate change.
Think about Conference of the Parties, folks. Think about that.
And it is parties, I'll tell you.
Parties.
Sam, there are hundreds of private jets parked at the airport over here. They're feasting on delicious food at five-star resorts along the beautiful Red Sea coast here. They're partying. They're having a blast here while they figure out how to divide up the remaining wealth of the American middle class.
All right. And what do they call this? The UN Conference?
Of the Parties. COP27. The parties are the governments here. So the mass murdering dictatorship in North Korea is one of the parties. The mass murdering dictatorship in China is one of the parties. Joe Biden is one of the parties. Actually, he sent his minion John Kerry to handle most of the negotiating. So,
and how do we stop this, Alex? Because what's interesting is we can't even stop the problems in the United States because supposedly constitutionally you got to wait and use the checks and balances, and they've got so many of their minions in place from drug cartel leaders in Arizona that just got elected all the way down. But now they're at a global international conference. They're planning the demise of the country they've sworn to uphold, but yet they've even got another layer of protection, right?
They do. And there's several ways that we can stop this, Sam. I would say, first of all, we need to educate the American people. American people are generally common sense folks. If they knew what was happening here, if they knew how fraudulent the pseudoscience that underpins this is, it would be over. And without American money, I can tell you right now, without American money, this whole thing shuts down. During the Trump administration, we kept going to these clown shows, and the entire focus of the meetings was how horrible the United States is because Donald Trump won't keep paying billions and ultimately trillions of dollars to keep this dog and pony show going. So if and when Americans wake up, the whole thing ends. That's why they're not covering it in the U.S. media. Even the liberals have enough sense to see this is crazy. You can prove very, very simply, Sam, that this is a fraud and that the ringleaders here don't even believe it themselves, okay? And I'll explain to you how. That's the subject of the video that I made on the way out here that you mentioned. What's happening here is, the real gist of this came out at the UN conference in Paris. I was there with a team from the New American, and Barack Obama agreed that he was going to slash American CO2 emissions by about 30% by the year 2025. And he had been bragging already that under my plan, electricity rates are going to skyrocket, right? So at Paris, every government was supposed to come in and offer their, they use all these acronyms here, their NDC, their Nationally Determined Contribution. So Obama came and he said, I'm going to use executive orders, EPA regulations, executive actions to shut down American energy production to the point where we're going to produce 30% less CO2 emissions by the year 2025. The Communist Chinese came in and said, oh, that's wonderful. Well, we're a developing country and we're not responsible for global warming. So we're going to continue increasing our CO2 emissions until the year 2030. And I can tell you, and anybody can observe for themselves what happened. Electricity rates in America skyrocketed. More and more factories shut down. Our jobs were shipped over to Communist China. CO2 emissions went up radically, right? If these people really believed that CO2 was dangerous, if these people really believed that CO2 was pollution, the last thing in the universe that they would want to do is ship our factories and our productive capabilities over to China, where they're going to result in massively more CO2 emitted per unit of economic output. And I mean, that is self-evident. And yet they're all celebrating this as if this was some sort of giant win for the climate. That's how you know that the ringleaders here don't believe it. And so you asked, how do we stop this? We expose this. We make the American people aware of it. And at the state level, you know, you were talking about the dual sovereignty. We need state governments. We need Ron DeSantis in the Florida legislature. We need Governor Kevin Stitt in Oklahoma. We need Governor Greg Abbott in Texas to lead their states and say, we are not going to comply with this. We are not going to shut down our power plants to satisfy some lunatic executive order that Joe Biden or Barack Obama put down on paper. That's illegal. That's unconstitutional. We're sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States and our state. We're not going to allow such a fraud. And if American states, I mean, we would only need 15 or 20 powerful states, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, Utah, just a handful of states. If they stood up and said, we're not going to comply with this and we're not going to allow you to shut down our power plants, we're not going to allow you to ship our jobs overseas, the whole fraud would end. It would be that simple. So what we really need to do, Sam, is get this message out. I encourage the folks watching this broadcast right now. Very, very few Americans know what's happening here. Take the link from this. Go to Brighteon.tv. Go to Brighteon. Grab the link for this show. Send it to your congressman. Send it to your state senator. Send it to your state representative. Send it to your county sheriff. We've got to get this information out to the American people, and we can shut this fraud down.
All right. I want to mention a couple of things. How many people do you think are there? Do you have any idea of the breadth? How many leaders attend this thing?
About 126 heads of state and government have been here over the last week and a half or so.
Which means 126 separate entourages, Alex, if you will, because they don't go alone.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Yep. They come in.
All right, so 126.
With a massive fleet of airplanes, limos.
Yeah, and the point that I'm making is they wouldn't even have a conference like this. They probably spend more environmental capital, if you believe in their lies, in one of these conferences than guys like me do in 5, 10, whatever, who knows how many years. Folks,
this conference
puts
out more CO2 emissions than a small African country. It truly is, Sam.
And that really is another proof point to make. Now, they also talk about, it's called the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Let's talk about that framework for a second, what they're building. All nations either voluntarily or being forced to subscribe to this. But then they back it with the Ten Commandments, right? They put the framework in place, and then the commandments make sure that we, quote, obey or fall into the framework, right?
That's exactly right, Sam. And this year, they're more transparent than they've ever been about the religious component. The UN itself, the UN Environment Program, put out a document in advance of this summit called the Human Development Report. And they openly say in this document, we've been going through it, my colleague and I can even give you some quotes from here. Hold on. And this is from the secular side of the UN, right? I'll get into the religious side in a moment. But this is what the secular UN, the UN Environment Program, put out. They said, evolutionary processes and ethical reasoning may have interacted in reaching the current prevailing configurations of behaviors and institutions, but today's uncertain times have novel elements that present fundamentally new challenges. Those configurations may not be a good match. And listen to this. In other words, this is what they say in the report, ethics evolved from a past evolutionary stage of human history and due to modern exigencies should be abandoned as obsolete.
Whoa.
Our previous moral code, what came out of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, don't cheat, don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't worship false gods, those are obsolete because they led to this climate crisis. And again, this is in the secular UN report. This is the UN Environmental Program report that came out right ahead of the conference for COP27. And they go on to say that, here we go, in the vacuum created by the deletion of ethics, a new moral code can be uploaded. Again, directly out of the text of this document that the UN put out for this conference. And then they had this whole coalition of global religious leaders. In fact, one of the from America, there was an LDS leader, Mr. Holland, who was one of the representatives from the United States. They had Catholics, they had every kind of pagan, they had evangelicals, Orthodox Christian leaders, Muslims, Jews, everybody. And they came together for this big climate repentance ceremony right outside of Mount Sinai, where they got these new Ten Commandments that we're all supposed to obey. So they're ushering in a one-world unified religious structure with a new moral code dedicated to the stewardship of Mother Earth and taking good care of Gaia, rather than the traditional morality that was actually handed down by God at Mount Sinai to Moses. So very, very significant what's happening here, Sam. I can't overstate the significance of this, and yet we're not hearing anything about it from the fake media in the United States.
It's really the Tower of Babel all over, but with every human behavior possible via the new Ten Commandments of the framework. They want to build a Tower of Babel climate style, if you will. They're literally thumbing their nose at God and pretending that they are the new gods. This is insane, folks. Now tell me about the Ten Commandments they want to implement, because those details matter to you and I, right?
That's exactly right, Sam. And the new Ten Commandments, it's all about taking proper care of the earth and reducing our carbon footprint and stopping plastic and stop eating meat, right? It's this entirely new paradigm where all decisions have to be made under the guise of taking care of the environment. And again, as we discussed earlier in the program, Sam, the people running this scam don't believe these lies themselves. So the environment is not the real issue, as the Communist Students for a Democratic Society used to say back in the 1960s. The issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. So the issue is not saving the world from global warming. The issue is not, you know, concerned about carbon dioxide. If they cared about carbon dioxide, they wouldn't be shipping all our factories to China. The issue is totally remaking the world, ushering in this new world order where Christianity will be obliterated, where they will have total control over everybody on the planet. That's the simplest summary I can give of what's happening here. They're talking about an entirely new paradigm for human existence. It's the Great Reset. It's the Green New Deal. It's the New World Order. It's the Build Back Better, all rolled up into one giant enchilada where human freedom, self-government, national sovereignty all go out the window, and we all pay allegiance and carbon taxes to the United Nations.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know really how to respond to this because this has been going on for a long time. Let's be very clear. This is nothing new. What's new in my mind is the shift by these leaders. They used to work for the United States and then in secret work for the global governance. Now they're literally openly working for the global government, if you will. I don't believe in a global government, but they work for that. And the United States is kind of an afterthought. And they're literally announcing this on the stage. Biden literally went and spoke to these people as if he was somehow a leader in it or somehow a mover and a shaker in some way. But it's a complete violation of sovereignty. This is really important to understand, folks. And we the people must stand up now and say, wait a minute, what are you doing, Biden? Republicans impeach him for going to these global conferences and agreeing to things that violate our sovereignty. Isn't that the core of the discussion for we the people, Alex?
Yes, it is. And you know, Joe Biden put his hand on the Bible and he swore to uphold the U.S. Constitution. The Constitution does not give him the authority to surrender our sovereignty. The Constitution does not give him the authority to shut down our factories and our power plants. We need governors and sheriffs and Americans to stand up and say no.
Amen to that. Alex Newman, we'll have you back soon. God bless. Thanks for joining us. He's live from Egypt, ladies and gentlemen, telling the story that nobody else will tell right here on the Sheriff Mac Show on Brighteon.tv.
At the Brighteon store, we offer a variety of colloidal silver solutions that we make in Texas using Texas rainwater and specialized circuitry that I personally designed to produce silver ions in purified rainwater. We have a colloidal silver extra strength spray, a silver-based first aid gel, as well as a colloidal silver herbal mouthwash solution that people just rave about. Each one of these is subjected to our rigorous laboratory testing for metals, glyphosate, and microbiology in order to ensure product purity and safety for your health. We manufacture our own silver products right in the heart of Texas and deliver them to you using our own warehousing and fulfillment infrastructure that we built to serve real America. All of us here at Brighteon thank you for your support. Shop our silver products at BrighteonStore.com. Here we grow again. Brighteon is expanding with our new daily live stream in Espanol. Anchored by hosts like Yor Hernandez, a former Telemundo and Fox reporter, Brighteon TV in Espanol is bringing over a dozen new hosts and shows to the Spanish speakers of the world who are seeking out the truth on everything. To watch, go to Brighteon.com, click on the Espanol live stream, and prepare to hear the truth in a whole new language. Brighteon TV in Espanol. Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the Bivy Stick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the Bivy Stick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 Bivy Sticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com.
I I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
Folks, but Joe Biden addresses UN climate conference, according to National Public Radio, NPR, and Biden claims climate efforts more urgent than ever at the summit. Did you hear that he even went, much less reported? The United Nations framework on the Convention on Climate Change is real and serious, and they're implementing via this new human development report. They're ushering in a new man-made Ten Commandments as opposed to God's Ten Commandments. They say, jettison God's commandments. That's how we got in this crisis. Now let's have man's Ten Commandments, folks. It is insane. All right, that's a summary of that. We've got Patrick Byrne with us now, former chairman and CEO of Overstock. Really now his nickname should be Mr. Whistleblower because he's telling the tale like nobody else. Patrick, welcome, sir.
Good to be on, Sam. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. So you attended a White House meeting, and then you got betrayed. Let's start there.
Well, on December 18th, this, and pardon me, I don't. All I have is my iPhone. This is not as Hollywood-like as it should. Yeah, December 18th, 2020, I snuck into the White House.
Oh, you're breaking up. Hopefully you can move to higher ground, Patrick.
Can you, how's this?
Yeah, try that. Go ahead.
Let me see if I can, if this doesn't work, tell me something else and I'll switch on to a wireless that might be better. A Wi-Fi connection.
All right, go ahead. So on December 18th, when? 2020?
2020, I went into the White House. You know this story, don't you? That I went into the White House and tried to convince the president to do a quick investigation. I tried to convince him that he had the authority to under really things that, well, that the government itself had published. What is key is that no one has understood and no one will report. That whole, I went over there and I brought Sidney Powell and Mike Flynn in tow and I sort of got to the Oval Office. I busted. I snuck in, did not have an appointment. It was all kind of a funny moment in history, but Jedi mind trick. And I tried to convince the president that, so this was not based on any theories of anything to do with South Korean jets with ballots in them or any of this stuff. It was, look, Mr. President, the government itself has made some statements. Now we didn't have with us, but it was mentioned the DHS on October 6th, a month before the election, less than a month, October 6, 2020, they've come out with a threat to the nation or threat to the homeland, their annual threat to the homeland report, and they said there's going to be an attempted hack on this election. On October 20th, the DHS came out and said the Iranians are trying to hack various state election systems. On October 30th, they came out and said the Iranians have successfully hacked one state. They're going after other states, and there's other nation states joining in this cyber assault. Then on December 8th, the federal government came out and said something about a massive hack. And then on December 13th, they came out and revealed the SolarWinds hack, which was the network security behind 425 out of 500 Fortune 500 companies was compromised. The security of the CIA, NSA, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Cyber Command, every part of the U.S. government was hacked because of the SolarWinds hack. And SolarWinds, that same technology is used within the voting machine. So they came out, so we were pointing out to the president, look, this isn't, it doesn't have to be based on wild theories of vote flipping from space. We have the federal government itself has now made these six statements. And Mr. President, and we didn't have the DHS threat assessment with us that was mentioned, but the other five were printed out and they, we had them. That's what was in the folder. We walked the president through it and then we pointed out to him, sir, based on what President Obama signed and something his own DNI, Director of National Intelligence, put out and something that an executive order he signed and then one that you signed in 2018, sir, based on these statements from the government, you have every right to go and do a quick investigation, look at six hard drives. All we have to do is take an image of six hard drives. We can take them back. And we told him officially this will be a two-week investigation, but, sir, it will really take a week. And between us, I think we'll have an answer to you in 2 or 3 days. So we'll have an answer to you certainly by Christmas Eve. And this was said to him on December 18th. That's what that meeting was about. His lawyers came in, caught the tail end of it. They had, so we walked him through all those documents, and I would say in 30 to 40 minutes, it was pretty clear. And anyone can pull this up. Anyone can go pull up those documents and look at what they say and look at what the Obama's own executive order says and tell me the president doesn't have the right to order a quick investigation. You know, he could have done anything. He could have legally rerun an an election, but he could. But we were just saying, hey, give a few days, send a DHS team into these six places and look at the hard drives. That's all that was in the plan. I said on top of that, look, we could make it 12, we could make it 31, we could use not the DHS, we could use National Guard and U.S. Marshals, but at the core of the plan was, on the piece of paper, was use DHS to go and look at six hard drives in six counties. This could have all been resolved in 3 days. His lawyers freaked out. Well, actually, you know, his lawyers conducted that. They joined out about 30 minutes late. We walked all through it again. They had all their say. They saw that we were right. At that point, just sort of apropos of nothing, the main lawyer turned to Sidney Powell and just started picking a fight, just started saying, you filed 60 cases and none of them won, blah, blah. And he tried to make it all about, you know, theories of South Korean jets loaded with ballots and crazy stuff. None of that was what we went in with. So that's what December 18th was about. And I think it would have saved the Republic. I was in the room with Donald Trump. Well, what happened was we had him talked into it. We spent 4 hours ultimately moving to his residency, the Yellow Oval, it's called. And at 12:15, we thought we were good. We thought that we might have to scale it down to even one county. And I had forgotten this. It's only after I testified to J6 and then started talking to people around me about what were their memories. They reminded me, we came out of that meeting, actually. We went back to the hotel and said, actually, we got to shrink this down. Come up with a version that shrinks this down to one county. And we were just going to choose Maricopa. So I think that was a very limited and reasonable plan. That's what they're trying to paint as extremists. What they're trying to say is we came in with a plan to run an insurrection on J6, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's all crazy. There was precisely one mention of January 6th in that December 18th meeting. I said, sir, like I say, we can get this done in 2 weeks, really a week and maybe a few days. And if you don't pull the trigger, you know, if you pull the trigger tonight, we'll have an answer for you by Monday or Tuesday. If you don't, you know, you can think about it, but you can't get up to January 6th and lose in Congress and then ask us to do this. That would be sore loserism. And that was, I remember, because that was the
the neologism I came up with that expressed it. And he kind of looked at me startled. And again, as we had a few moments in the course of the evening where we were like just whispering to each other in a doorway for a second or two. And I repeated that to him once and he got it. So that was the only mention of J6. Now the J6 committee has to say that we came in with a plan to start an insurrection, this and that. And in which case they got a problem. They got me and they got my testimony and we got the paperwork. I've even found the guy who actually drew up the plan there was a DHS plan to do just what I'm saying to do. So it's going to be really tough for them to make stick the narrative they want to say was something like and so then the other thing that the people should know is it's indescribed in my book. Am I going on too long for you, sir? Or is this, do you have the idea?
All right, let's talk about this. So you snuck into the White House. You had an emergency meeting with Trump. You basically said, look, we've got evidence, hardcore evidence of election fraud.
No.
You got it
no,
all
no, no,
done.
No, no,
Trump?
No, 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 no. We went in and said, we have the United States government is saying this has been hacked. That's what we went in with. We didn't go in with affidavits. We didn't go with evidence or theories. We went in with statements from the United States federal government that the election had been hacked. That
right, so
Iran had hacked one state, that other states were being hacked, and that other nations had joined in, and that now on December 13th, the government has come out and said, we've been hacked straight through to the top.
I understand. We're doing this to be very clear. So you're saying that the government says they've been hacked, and they don't let Trump know about it, and you're there to let Trump know what the government is saying, right?
Yes, we're very close. Trump knew that the government had been hacked, but it had not been explained to him that given that the government is now saying all these things have been hacked, that the president itself already had the authority to say, you know what? I'm going to send the DHS down to take a look at 6 hard drives. He had the authority. He actually had the authority to do all kinds of things, but he certainly had the authority to do that per an executive order that Obama had signed and that Trump had sort of re-enlisted. So it's a really very simple case we had.
And that's why I specified this. So Patrick's not going in saying he has evidence of vote fraud. He's merely saying, Trump, the government's reports say they've been hacked and there's election fraud, and you only know part of the story, President, right?
Yep, and he even said to his lawyers, happens to be coincidentally named Pat, Patrick Cipollone. He said, Pat, why haven't you told us about this? Why haven't you told me about these guys are at least finding these arguments and making this argument? Why haven't you even told me that I had these powers? And Pat Cipollone said to him, sir, I'm the White House General Counsel. I'm not your campaign attorney. Which I don't even know what the hell that's supposed to mean. How'd you like to be the president?
What it means is elections govern all. And they know it. Now, here's the thing. When Trump and Patrick were talking, though, Giuliani was there, right?
He was on the phone. I'll tell you he was on the phone for the first half of this listening. You want to know what happened?
You're breaking up again, Patrick.
Do you want to know about the Giuliani factor?
Yes, because I think you were betrayed from within by Giuliani, right?
I don't know, betrayed, but Giuliani was listening on a phone from a restaurant at 9:30 or 10. Well, I've been out and seen Rudy Giuliani at restaurants at 9:30 or 10. I'm not sure he's the guy I would go to for legal advice at that point. And Giuliani came in at, I think it was about 10 o'clock, came into the White House, and he sat down, and the president told us to get him aside and show him what we had. And he came into the cabinet room. We sat with him, and I distinctly remember him sitting at a folder and opening it and trying to study it for about 20 or 30 seconds. And then he and Sidney got into some kind of fight that we couldn't – they had some past history that we couldn't stop. What he ended up doing is when we left – ended up that leaving at 12:30 or 12:15, we had the president, we thought, sold on it. We thought we had a rough, okay, we're going to go forward. Maybe we're going to shrink this down to one city. It turns out that 2 to 3 minutes after we left,
Giuliani already had Trump talked out of it, said, if you do this, Mr. President, we're all going to end up in prison. And by the time in my book, it's explained that I got onto the sidewalk in front of the White House at about 12:20 at night. And I saw Rudy and Meadows leaving from another entrance. Rudy explained to me this January of this year that actually they had already in that 2 or 3 minutes, they had turned Trump around, which is why Trump had been really down. We had snuck in. We got his hopes up. Then we left. He got talked out of it. He went up to his bedroom and he sent up an hour later. He sent out this tweet. He had switched back to the J6 to the Green Bay strategy. That was Rudy's strategy, which was the J6. We're going to have a bunch of state legislatures do things and look at evidence and something's going to happen on January 6th. So that's why he sent out that tweet that night. But the point is, it's kind of funny. Rudy said, I said to him in January, why did you talk the president out of it? And he said, well, I didn't think your affidavits were enough. And then I've seen him do some evidences, some interviews where he's talked about that meeting. And he says, I looked at the file of affidavits that Byrne had brought in, and I read them and decided that there wasn't enough to justify this action they wanted to take. Well, here's the punchline. There wasn't an affidavit in that folder. There was not an affidavit in that folder. That folder was a statement by the FBI DHS on October 20th. It was a statement by the DHS on October 30th, a statement by the FBI on November 30th, a statement by the DNI on December 13th. Why is it that when you call Rudy Giuliani in from dinner at 10 o'clock at night and given a stack of government publications, press releases and statements, he looks at it, he can't tell the difference between a set of FBI releases and a set of affidavits? Draw your own inference on that one. Draw your own inference.
I say you guys are betrayed. Trump was talked out of it.
He couldn't tell the difference between a stack of government documents and a stack of affidavits. That's how drunk he was.
Yeah, and so to me, that's a betrayal, intentional or not. That's debatable.
And he talked the president out of it. He talked the president out of the one step that would have prevented us from getting here. You know what? If we had gone in and go ahead.
The solar winds. Link to this is critical because you're saying anybody that the key to the solar winds hack has the key to all elections, right?
Yes. So every election database. I'm sorry?
Explain that for a second so people understand that.
Okay. There's a company called Solar Winds. It put out, I'm not even sure it exists anymore. It has a network security product. Think of that as like the fence you put around your company. So hackers can't break in. It's the cyber fence around your company. They also have another product that is a product that is, I don't want to get too dolphin speak, but for those who know what a FTP server is, that's what it is. It's called ServView. Corporations, when they speak to each other in big files, they don't email a huge gigabyte file to another corporation. They have systems so their machines talk to each other, and one machine wakes up and sort of goes to the other corporation's machine and tickles it with the right code, and that opens up and they inject a big file. That's called FTP. I won't go into any detail. But this same company, SolarWinds, had an FTP product. The equipment uses their FTP product. It's called ServView. So it's on a whole bunch of the machinery. That FTP product is built using inside of it is the same product that got hacked. So that means all of these equipment that were running the FTP product, so the equipment, the machines could speak to each other, had within them the exact same SolarWinds hack that allowed, which is the biggest hack in U.S. history. It was announced December 13th, 2020. So anyone who had that key also could get into our election equipment and change databases. And it has turned out since then that most of these machines have illegally, they have software on them that they're not supposed to have called SQL that lets them edit a database. So anyone who had that backdoor key to the biggest hack in history could also get on our election equipment and edit all of our databases around the country. So folks, we were telling the president, based on that, we think you ought to send a DHS in and take an image of the hard drive. And if you find what we think you're going to find, which is that this was accessed internationally, where that stuff was written and rewritten over, which is incidentally exactly what has been found when we got to look in Michigan and Pennsylvania and in Mesa County, Colorado. If they could have found that in a couple hours, and we would have known December 21st, 2020, that the election had been hacked and needed to be run again. Frankly, that's what would have happened.
So the bottom line is, with this evidence, then you have now issued a direct challenge to the Obama or to Obama, to the DOJ, to the FBI, and the rest of the deep state. Tell us about your challenge.
Well, I've come out and finally acknowledged that I worked for the deep state. I had a lifetime relationship with the deep state. I'm not a spy. I'm not an asset. I've never done anything like that. I'm like a college professor. And on occasion, and I've explained in a couple of these speeches, I was asked to do some things. And what I was asked to do in 2016 included, I was involved in the Russian collusion delusion setup, and I was involved in the Hillary Clinton investigation, both of them working for Peter Strzok. I've come out and said that. I work for Peter Strzok. I know all the inside secrets of the Clinton investigation and the Russian investigation. And the inside secrets are the Russian investigation caught her in January 2016 taking a bribe, and she was blackmailed after that. And the Russian investigation was completely cooked up. Peter Strzok has come out and said it started on July 2016 when they became aware of Maria Butina, and that started the whole Crossfire Hurricane. He is lying through his teeth. They knew all about her in July of 2015, and they had me smushing her around the Republic. They were standing in the background letting her smush up the Republican Party and dirty it up. Her assignment was to meet anyone in the Hillary, Cruz, Rubio, or Trump campaigns, Maria Butina, and build connections to Russia. And they, the FBI, let all that happen. They warned Hillary, so she stayed out. So whoever won on the Republican side, Cruz, Rubio, or Trump, was going to have a Russian scandal. That's a little mind-boggling for you Republicans. I promise you the Russian scandal was not about Donald Trump. The Russian scandal was set up before Trump ever came down an escalator. The Russian scandal was being set up. It was, whether it was Cruz, Rubio, or Trump, whoever won was going to walk into accusations of a Russian collusion delusion.
Amen. All right, give us your challenge now.
This isn't a theory. I did it. I'm the guy. I was part of the whole thing.
All right, let's talk about your challenge then, because you're saying, hey, I'd pay $10 million to be tried for sedition in a military court, whether I'm telling the truth or not. If I'm convicted, hang me. If I'm not telling the truth or if I'm lying, hang me for this stuff, right?
Correct. I want them, if I'm lying, I will stipulate. Stipulate is a lawyer's way of saying, you don't even have to prove this in court. I will agree up front, save you the time of proving. If I'm lying about this stuff, I'm committing sedition. You should hang me. They should hang me. I will do anything they need for me to be, for them to try me next week or this week in a military court on the condition that it's on camera. And I only need 1 hour for my defense. I'm going to call 6 witnesses, about 10 minutes each. And as I said, I think when I'm done, they can hang me, but I think that the people are going to be more likely to be hanging, you know, General yes. Milley and stuff, because they've betrayed their oath to the country, the Constitution. They have let the country fail on their watch, and I can prove it in 60 minutes with 6 witnesses that my whole story is true.
All right. What gives you the courage to speak out now, Patrick? If you've done this for so long, why not just keep quiet?
To be honest, I've been trying to speak out. They have snuffed me out, and I finally came out with more facts that they know they can't snuff out. I set up the deep state in a rape and murder sting. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
I put them in the position. I knew from October 2016 what they were doing, that there was some kind of coup, soft coup going on, someone trying to set up and take over the government, be it Hillary or Trump. And as you know, I didn't even vote for Trump, but I set up a sting on the deep state for them to continue past October 2016, for them to take one step with the Russian collusion farce past October 2016. I put them in the position they had to do something really bad. And you know what? They did something really bad. And I see we're running out of time, so we'll save that for
ladies and gentlemen.
Episode.
We're out of time. Patrick Burns literally saying, hey, there's election fraud. We can prove it. And the deplorables are proven right once again, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. Patrick Burns, thank you. We have got to stay on the election fraud issues, folks. The
Absolutely.
Evidence is there, even though they claim otherwise. God save the Republic.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, it doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we hadn't named him that.
Well, why? It beats general default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey? Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
All right, back to the Alive, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Two incredible blockbuster interviews, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. So I don't know if you've ever heard, but Carrie Lake got beat by less than a percentage point. We all are convinced there's election fraud, and they always tell you that we make these claims without evidence. But ladies and gentlemen, Alex Newman with me doing a great job. But you know what? He reports live from the conference of the parties in Egypt. Yeah, can you say election fraud? Katie Hobbs won. Now, what does that mean? Katie Hobbs gets to certify her own election? Is that what that means, folks? Because it's very strange to me. Anyway, we talked to Alex Newman about the UN climate conference in Egypt where Joe Biden spoke. Biden claims that climate efforts more urgent than ever. Bottom line is they're replacing God's Ten Commandments, giving the blame on God's Ten Commandments for the climate crisis. And then through the Human Development Report, literally creating a new man-made Ten Commandments, turns our back on everything that we know, looks towards a unified, single government-controlled global religion, breaching the sovereignty of the United States like you wouldn't believe. Well, then we get Patrick Byrne on, and Patrick sneaks into the White House with an emergency meeting in Trump, and he says, hey, man, this SolarWinds hack has got all these election machines hacked as well. Well, now Trump and Patrick, because they were going to do something about it, got betrayed by Rudy Giuliani, who talked the president out of it. Anyway, anyone who had a key to the SolarWinds hack basically had the key to these election machines, according to Patrick. And Patrick issues a direct challenge to Obama, the DOJ, the FBI, and the rest of the deep state. Says, I used to work for the deep state, folks. I didn't realize what I was doing exactly, but hey, I'm coming clean now. And Mr. Byrne says, quote, I'd pay $10 million to be tried for sedition in the military courts. If I'm convicted, hang me. If I'm lying about this stuff, hang me. Give me 10 minutes per witness, 6 witnesses, 1 hour to prove my innocence and update the facts. Well, folks, Patrick announced that he's recently diagnosed with cancer or cancerous tumors within his spine, and that has given him the courage to do this. He says, the only thing is you've got to televise my trial because I don't want to be snookered and have you guys twist it and manipulate it. He knows that the deep state can't be trusted with anything, and the only way to prevent the manipulation or the twisting of the truth is for him to go live on camera. Trump knows this as well. That's why he says, I'll testify before J6 if it's televised. The government won't do it. Deplorables proven right once again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get CSPOA SMS updates, then text the word CSPOA, or five letters, CSPOA, to the following number, 53445. That's 53445. And you can check out archives on video at Brighteon.com. And then the archives of the radio portion, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, hour one in the can. Incredible guests next hour as well, right here on Liberty Roundtable Live. God save the Republic of the United States of America.